All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Mayor Greg Ballard did finally send a statement, got here at 4:14 yesterday, but you all have not heard it. On the passing of Father Boniface Hardin, the mayor said, a pioneer of the civil rights movement in Indianapolis, Father Hardin had the greatest respect for people who faced challenges in life, and he opened doors for those who believed a college education was unattainable. Father Hardin's care, compassion, and commitment to people went beyond education because he truly cared about people in a way that cannot be measured. His legacy will continue in the work of Martin University graduates, and he always will be with us in spirit as his vision is carried on by our community. The governor of the great state of Indiana, on the passing of Father Hardin, said, and I quote, I learned the name Boniface Hardin in my first days in the mayor's office 4 decades ago. He was already known as a giant for justice and an education visionary. He lived in faith in a way few of us can hope appreciate. I hope young people will study his life and choose to imitate it. And then Congressman Andre Carson said, over the weekend, our community bid farewell to a devoted and passionate leader, a man who shepherded our great city through times of racial tumult, and galvanized a new era of educational opportunity for the young men and women of our community. For 40 years, Reverend Boniface Hardin has challenged us to expect more for ourselves and for our communities. He's been a voice of reason and inspiration, and his impact will be felt for countless generations. I join with all those who knew him in mourning the loss of this civil rights advocate, spiritual leader, and founder of the area's only black majority college. He will be greatly missed. There's a community viewing tomorrow from 10 until 7 at His Love, Martin University in the Gathatorium. There'll be a community program at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. On Thursday, there will be a service. It's called Mass for the Dead. We will find out what that means in the Roman Catholic faith. I call it a Roman Catholic homegoing, I guess would be the best way to describe it. That'll be at the big cathedral, St. Peter and St. Paul, right down the street from the station at 14th and Meridian. And his earthly remains will be transported to St. Myriad in Indiana, to the Abbey, where he learned his faith and learned to walk with God and with giants at the Archabbey Church of Our Lady, I can't even pronounce this, in St. Myriad, Indiana. In the house are folks that knew Father Boniface well since he came to Indianapolis in the mid-1960s to be the associate pastor at Holy Angels Church, which in some information that I found out over the weekend, he was the first African-American to be a priest here in Indianapolis. Tom Brown nodded his head and let me know that I'm telling everything correct. In the house is Dr. Thomas L. Brown, who knew him well, Reverend Dr. Derek King, who also knew him, Lori Wright, a member of Holy Angels, Joe Smith, knows everybody, and Addison Simpson, and Father Kenneth Taylor. And let me, first of all, guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have all of you. Let me first start with Father Taylor. Father Hardin was a Benedictine priest, a pastor of the Roman Catholic faith, but to many in this community, he transcended faith.
That is correct. He took just the basic tenets of Christianity and brought them to life all over the community. And the particular path people may choose to go, whether it be Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or whatever, didn't matter. He just took the basic tenets of Christian faith and brought them to life.
And the service that will be Thursday, it's called Mass for the Dead. There may be listeners who are thinking that that's not a big deal, that that's not a kind of service that would be respectful of the legacy, but that's not the case in the Catholic faith.
Well, for those who are familiar with the Catholic rite of funerals, will know that we have our funerals, our homegoings, in the context of the Mass, mm-hmm. of the Eucharistic service. But in Father Boniface's case, there's going to be two Masses, mm-hmm. One here in the cathedral, as you mentioned, and the other at St. Meinrad in the Archabbey Church, Our Lady of Einsiedeln, which is what you were trying to say. And that will be the official funeral at St. Meinrad, where he will eventually be buried.
And this is where he learned his faith.
That's correct.
What inspired him in this calling, in this ministry.
Yeah, he entered St. Meinrad as a high school student, actually. Mm. After his grade school education, his family is very Catholic, by the way. He was born in Bardstown, eventually moved to Louisville. and from a very Catholic family. And so the calling of priesthood came to him. And St. Meinrad, being the seminary where you can test out that call, is where he went after eighth grade. And not only did he respond to the call to priesthood, but to specifically be a Benedictine monk. And so he joined the Archabbey of St. Meinrad in order to be a Benedictine monk.
Joe Smith, how significant was his life? And your earliest remembrances of Father Hart?
I found him to be a community leader the minute he got here. As you know, my sister was telling me last night, when he unpacked his bags at Holy Angels, she was there leading the CYO group, and kids looked up and said, oh, it's a brown priest, a black priest. You know, back in those days, we were confused as to what terms we'd use. But he first got here, and people have no idea. At one time, there was no I-65
right.
coming through Indianapolis. And he caught on very quickly, understanding what damage that was doing in uprooting the community over there, which we were a part of. So, I mean, from his first days here, he had to become a rebel because, of course, you know, he wanted to be honoring the bishop and the bishop's guidance. But the people were calling on him, and his heart went out to support the community. People like Luther Hicks and others on the west side there were rallying behind him because they pushed him forward and said, Father, we got to stop this highway from coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, from his first minutes in the community, he was a champion for the people, working with them and very, very anxious to
that fight, Dr. Tom Brown, that fight over the highway in the Unwan neighborhood, is that where Father Hardin was brought to your dad's attention, your attention?
Yep, that's where it started.
And y'all said, who's this brown monk?
No, that is better than that. Let me tell you right quick what happened. King came to visit.
Uh-oh.
And they were at this church, and Dr. Martin Luther King was the guest speaker. And Boniface and Sister Jane walked in there, and Boniface had his dashiki on there. And Sister Jane, he walked right down front. Stood up, and Martin asked Dad, who is that?
Who is that?
And Dad said, oh, you find out. In the time, he was very Afrocentric, or Afrocentric was what we were using then. Very Afrocentric, and consequently, him and Dad, people thought they were at odds, but I think they had planned certain things because he would come in, shake it up, and get everybody riled up. And they worked. Hey, they've been working. They were doing it forever.
Inside, outside.
Hey, good cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop.
Uh-huh.
Addison Simpson and Father Hardin's influence, first of all, on the Catholic Church here.
Yes.
I mean, here comes somebody in the 60s that had to suddenly have become a role model in this community, A, and B, instantly came and got folk angry downtown.
Yes, very much so. But he helped the folks. I was a member at that time of St. Bridget,
mm-hmm.
and he helped the folks at St. Bridget. My mama talks about him all the time. But basically, she talks about his development of the Martin Center, which in 1963 became a nationwide force and nationwide law that all people of color had to get tested for sickle cell anemia, of which I have the trait. So my mama came very attached to Father Hardin because of his involvement with sickle cell anemia. And folks think it's gone, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the sickle cell board now, and we're going to have a walk in honor of Father Hardin June 23rd in the Riverside Park area to honor Father Hardin and get support for sickle cell anemia.
239-1310. 239-1310. Zath News Davis, you may have comment. You may remember something in your experience where you came in contact with Father Boniface Hardin. 239-1310. 239-1310. Lori, write your remembrances of him.
That was a long time ago. And I'm younger than these guys, by the way. But coming to Holy Angels with my children and my family and my own children, I can remember Father Boniface and Father Clarence Walden together.
Yeah.
Now, not being Catholic at the time, that was a total eye-opener. But they made you feel so welcome, regardless to your religious background, your socioeconomic status, and then later on joining Holy Angels. Then with the loss of Father Walden and Father KT coming on board, one of the neatest things was to have Mass and have the two of them perform the Mass. That was comical in its own way, but it was so respectful to our visitors, to God, and to our calling in our faith as Catholics.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name is Dr. Derek King. Martin University will always be his living monument, his living memorial. And over the weekend, I was told that the new president, at some point recently, the new president at Martin had an opportunity to at least meet Father Hardin. It was almost like, you know, God orchestrated this to make sure that the new paid respect to the old.
What happened? 2 weeks ago, Father was in decline, and literally one of the staff said, "Dr. Miller, I think you need to go meet Father." Mm-hmm. And his speech had deteriorated almost to non-existence, but they did have an opportunity to meet. From what I understand, Father was, as those of us who know him, still trying to be the frustrated comedian that he never matured to.
So the voice might not have been there, but the eyes,
the energy
was there. Energy. Still there.
And as you said, at his living memorial is over there on 21st and Station, and 22nd and Station. So we're going to miss him.
Let me go to the phones and Reggie. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing? And all the distinguished people there that remember Father Boniface. Tom, you were right when you talked about Father Boniface and Reverend Brown, A.J. Brown, working closely together to do what needed to be done to get people moving. Matter of fact, those were my mentors that took me under their wing. I was there when the sickle cell, of course, you know, Charles Grant, his son, was sickle cell. So we was involved in that. Then with the Martin Center getting it developed and later on becoming the university, I was there too. Father Boniface was a part of the group that met with that was on the board, on that board with Mayor Luger, who fought eminent domain. I watched his hair turn white with passion as he spoke eloquently at many, many meetings in regards to what was happening on the near northwest side, as well as what happened on the east side, because they took my parents' house too. And then on the charge that he gave me that haunts me right now is, Reggie, save our children. And we're still doing some about that. Tom's Reverend Brown is involved with that in terms of what we're trying to do here with our young boys. So Father Boniface has been a leader, a vocal leader, all the way through. And then his ancestors, I truly believe somehow Frederick Douglass got inside of him, and he portrayed that well on stage. And in his speaking, so he's a lasting memory in Indianapolis, and I'm glad that I've had a part to be involved in his life as as in the things that has happened in our community.
Reggie, I appreciate that. We got to find out, is there YouTube in heaven? And if there is, can we get the video of the two Frederick Douglasses meeting? And did the real Frederick Douglass tell Father Hart, man, what you been doing? I want my royalties. I appreciate it. Let me go to Dolores at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to share, when my son, Dr. Johnson, first saw Reverend Hardin in 78, he told me that I had told a tale because Frederick Douglass was alive. See, there he is.
That may be the line of the year, my sister. I appreciate that. Let me go to Vicki at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
And good afternoon to all your guests, Reverend Tommy Brown. I used to work with Father Harding. I was one of his office assistants. And he was just a beautiful person, and I have been keeping up with him. And when I saw the announcement on television this past weekend, it really hit me hard. But he was lovely, him and Sister Jane. I will never forget him. He taught us a lot. I learned a lot because as the Civil Rights Movement came up, I was still a young girl. But working with him, I learned a lot. And with Reverend Brown's father, Andrew J. Brown,
mm-hmm.
I learned a lot. And Reverend Brown, I worked with your mom over at Martin. So I just wanted to say hello and... I will try to be at the services because I will never forget Father Harding.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Before we break, what struck me in the comments, particularly from the governor, where he referenced knowing Father Harding's name from when the governor worked for Mayor Lugar umpteen years ago. Does this mean that Father Harden put his up Mitch Daniels, you know what, while he was out there, because that kind of personal remembrance, all these years later, and knowing the governor writes his own words, Joe Smith, yeah. You know, when you hear something that's a quote from Mitch Daniels, you know it came not from a secretary, not from an aide, that's Mitch Daniels. So there must have been some confrontation back in the day when Dick Lugar was mayor that involved Mitch Daniels.
Certainly back in those days, Father Finalis wasn't like E.F. Hutton. When he spoke, everybody listened.
Mm-hmm.
When he and Reverend Brown and Gurdon and all of them came together, they would certainly listen up and understand that what was going on. Father Boniface left Holy Angels because the bishop was upset by what the police chief had told him.
Mm.
The police chief said, now, we didn't bring him up, you know, he says, Archbishop Schulte, we didn't bring Boniface up here to, you know, be a rebel rouser. He's supposed to be a priest and quiet over on Holy Angels, take care of the coloreds.
And Boniface, oh, no, not take care of the coloreds. Oh, dear.
Boniface stood up, got his arm, and you know how... some of the pastors were back then, Luther Hicks and his,
yes,
his outburst. And so when Boniface spoke, everybody listened.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it was when the Archbishop and Boniface had a clash, I know the mayor was trying to get involved and help out and everything. Father Strain stepped up and said, Boniface, if you want to leave Holy Angels, we got a place for you. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we start shopping for properties where Martin Center was initially put in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say, along with Sam Jones and Dave Mitchum and who else was it? Dave Mitchum, NAACP, and Nancy Shaw.
Right.
Nancy Shaw. We all came together and purchased that building where Martin Center was, and then we stretched out, got Ray Pierce involved to start Sickle Cell Center right over there on College.
This may be a dumb question, but did Father Flager, the great priest up in Chicago, did he learn some things from Father Harden?
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, all the way in Milwaukee, you know, in Milwaukee and in Chicago, they learned from Boniface stepping forward.
239-1310, 239-1310, remembering the life and legacy of Father Boniface Harden. His calling is tomorrow at Martin University. Calling starts at 10 a.m. until 7, and there'll be a program at 7. Oh, I'm sure there's going to be music, some preaching, some education, some stories told. And it'll have, be Catholic, a little bit of Baptist, might even be some Buddhists up in there. With Father Hart, you never know. Over at the Gathatorium at Martin University, and a funeral mass here in Indianapolis at St. Peter and Paul Cathedral on Thursday, 10 o'clock, 14th and Meridian. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310, 239-1310. We got Joe Smith, Addison Simpson, Father Kenneth Taylor, Dr. Derek King, Dr. Thomas Brown, Lori Wright. We're remembering the life and legacy of Father Boniface Harden. Back to the phones. And Bob, hi there.
How you doing?
Fine.
Good. Hey, Dr. Brown, this is Bob over at the restaurant. How you doing today?
I'm fine.
Good. You know, I was Father's driver, you know, and over the past 5-6 years, you know, I drove him everywhere he wanted to go. You know, and he just carried a wealth of knowledge, you know. I mean, my head would explode, you know, with so much knowledge that he had, you know. He just knew about everything, you know, and I love him, you know, I'm going to miss him. You know, I've been to Bardstown. He showed me where he grew up at. I've been to St. Meinrad, and I have every intention that the Lord is willing to be there for his homecoming on Friday.
All right. We appreciate that. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. St. Meinrad is southern Indiana, kind of near where, over towards?
Well, it's as a lot of Benedictine monasteries are, it's just kind of out there all by itself.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
But
near, is it near a town? Is it near a town?
We know that we know of. Ferdinand is kind of the nearest town between Ferdinand and Tell City in Spencer County.
Okay. Down there by the, that's close to the Wabash, isn't it?
Ohio.
Down by the river.
Yes.
In the middle of nowhere. But it's in Indiana.
It's in Indiana on top of a hill.
It's on a hill.
It's on a hill. You can see it.
Why monasteries are on a hill?
That's right. As you're driving down the highway heading
you look
it,
up.
There it is.
Look up to the hills.
They're trying to get close to God. Yeah, there you go.
Is that what it is? Back to the phones and Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Amos, and to all the elders and dignitaries there at the station. You know, what I really admire about Father Harden was that as he grew in his wisdom, his humanity was able to manifest and express and embrace all religions. It was like he transcended Catholicism, and he was able to embrace and greet. And I think that was the most wonderful thing that a human being could show to others. And I know that the Creator is embracing his spirit because he has done a great job here. And that's what I greatly remember about Father Hart.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Let me go to Jackster at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos and dignitated guests. How y'all doing?
I'm fine.
Thank you.
Okay, I was just sitting up there listening. I tell you what, when I leave here, I want people to speak nice to me like they speaking to him. And that should let you know how you're supposed to treat people. You end up appreciating it in the end. Y'all have a big old fine day.
All right, you too. Let me go to Reverend Ajabu at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos and everybody else that's up in there. How y'all doing?
We're fine.
I was listening to you earlier, and you were talking about the march. And down on the circle, I had made reference to the passing of Father Boniface Harden, and we took a moment of silence to recognize the giant that has left this life to transition to that life eternal. And there was a sister that came up and said, well, look, you know, Father Boniface Harden has favorite song, and she said she wanted to sing it, and the song was Freedom. Mm-hmm. Oh, freedom. Before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. And we had the thousands of people there on the circle clapping and singing and recognizing a giant that has given people who wouldn't have had the chance for higher learning that chance by creating the school, relaxing the standards, but not relaxing the quality. So I, for one, am really moved by the interaction that I had with that man. Because anyone that can portray Frederick Douglass like he did, boy, he is all right with me.
All right, my brother, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. How did the Frederick Douglass start? Did it evolve? How did that get started?
Well, it started with the way he looked.
Yeah. Did he look that way when he rolled into town back in the day?
No, he looked that way once he let his hair and his beard grow.
Oh, okay.
When that grew out, people started making the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? And actually, what's interesting is he resisted it at first.
Okay.
He really fought being compared to Frederick Douglass. And finally, people were so insistent, he not only gave into it, but then he developed this whole portrayal,
mm-hmm.
and he would do monologues and plays around that.
Mm.
So it developed because people pushed him into it because of the way he looked.
And then it allowed him to study
yes.
what Frederick Douglass was about and then adapt his ministry to that, Derek King.
Yes. There's a course in Martin University. It's compulsory. Required for all students to take. It's called Emancipatory Narratives. Out of Sister Jane's mind, one of the historical figures that we study, because I teach the course, is Frederick Douglass. So Father, with some help from Sister, did the research on the whole personality, thanks Tom, the whole personality of Frederick Douglass. So he was very passionate by Frederick Douglass and the whole idea of human dignity, freedom, and justice. So Father KT said, he looked so much like him. Sometimes we didn't know if Frederick Douglass was walking the campus in Mars.
Back to the phones and Christine. Hi there.
Hey, Mr. Amos Brown, this is Christine Pound, school counselor at Andrew J. Brown Academy. Hello to you and your guests. I wanted to share with Dr. Brown that earlier in our school year, Father Hardin showed up at our school. With all the excitement of seeing him, I said, well, Doc, what brings you to Andrew J. Brown Academy? He said, well, Dr. Brown told me that I could see this school, and I'm here to see it. So I am very thankful to say that he got an opportunity to tour our school. We took pictures with him, and we were very excited just to have him here. So I just wanted to share that with Dr. Brown.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you, Addison Simpson.
Hey, yeah, what makes me remember Reverend Boniface Hardin is it goes back to 63 with sickle cell. In 1969, there was a little brouhaha on Indiana Avenue, and we kind of performed after Dr. King was assassinated. And while me being in the midst of that kind of ruckus, Father Hardin came to me and said, go home. I said, excuse me? He said, go home before I tell Dorothy. which is my mother. Which I went home. And things calmed down after a couple of days. And then from there, being one of the first enrollees at Martin College back then, I had the honor to be a graduate of Martin University. And I graduated with Reverend Tommy Brown's mother. She's my mother, too. And we're both now inducted into the Hall of Fame for Martin University. So that tells you, I go back to 13 years old with Father Hardin.
Back to the phones. Thank you. And Bill, hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Brown, Dr. King, Reverend Taylor, Addison and Joe Smith, and Lori Wright, Bill Crawford. Remembrances of Dr. King go back to, my family lived in the 1000 block on West 31st. And that's where I really met Dr. King. Father Boniface was when he began to champion the protest against the highway that has been referenced coming in. As a matter of fact, I can remember waking up after the brouhaha and NDOT was tearing down my family's garage. But the thing that I remember most about Father Boniface and all the interactions that I've had with him over the years was when they had the protests, the student protests at Shortridge High School, and Yofu Elmo and others. And there was a convocation held in the auditorium at Shortridge High School. And Father Boniface spoke, and he said something that has always resonated to me, because he looked directly at the leadership of the city and the school board and the others that were denying these African-American students their basic fundamental rights. And he said, you have an obligation not only to speak, but to listen and hear the voice of these kids. And so I'm going to miss Father Boniface and Sister Jane's companionship with him. Over the years, he was a great servant, and he has left a legacy that is hard to match.
239, I appreciate that, Bill Crawford. Thank you very, very much. 239-1310, back to the phones, and Councilman Duke Oliver. Hi, Duke.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
Fine.
Just a shout-out. You got Joe Smith there. I'd like to say hello to Joe. Hey, and everybody else there. Skeeter comes in town for the service.
I hope so. I'm going to give him a call.
Looking forward to that reunion, all you guys. I remember, I have reminiscent thoughts about Father Hardin, going back to the front porch sickle cell that he wore at the War College on the other side of the double there. Would have seen him over there, tried to get things going, tried to make myself and Robert Young, who were very active in the Foundry local union out there, try to spread the word about sickle cell and some things like that. But most notably is his portrayal of Frederick Douglass. Every year, some of us would go over there and see he and Sister Jane and the show they would put on Frederick Douglass. And we were all enlightened, even more enlightened, about who Frederick Douglass was. He brought that character, the personality, and the history, the total history surrounding Frederick Douglass, right up to everyone there on those evenings over there in the old university part over there. So I just want to thank everyone in his family for sharing him with all of us. And just a shout out again to Father Boniface Hardin.
All right, appreciate that. 239-1310, 239-1310. Afternoon's name is back to the phones, and Karen, hi there.
Amos and all of your guests, I was listening to all the beautiful things said about Mr. Hardin. Unfortunately, I was not living here, but I would like to ask our community, let's keep his dream alive and come up with a way that we can always contribute to Martin University in his honor.
That's a great question, and I know, you know, it is so early since God called Father Hardin home, but Derek King, has the university started to think of how, I mean, he founded the school, so that's obviously the permanent memorial to Boniface Hardin, but any thoughts of living memorials? The caller's talking about like a scholarship fund or a fund where people can donate to.
There is conversation, from what I understand, that will be a formal announcement that on Founders Day.
Okay.
There will be a receptacle offered to the community to contribute to the university. Tag Boniface Hardin. There will be, the Gathatorium will be named in his memory. The courtyard will be named in Sister Jane's memory. So they will not go away. I want to say one other thing about Father Hardin. We've talked about his different passions. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2005. Okay. Father Hardin had gotten diagnosed and had surgery in 2004. And one of his passions is prostate cancer advocacy.
You see.
To anybody listening, in Father's memory, if you know a man 40 years old or older, Father will simply say, get your prostate checked out. You don't have to die from that disease.
Good points. Good points. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternews. Name is. We'll take a break. We'll come back with our remaining moments with our panel tomorrow. Councilman Feaster will be here. She's got her annual job fair. She'll tell us all about that. Have you been jealous of all those people who get to ride the fancy buses from Fishers and Carmel downtown and you don't get to ride them? They're getting ready to get you to ride them. It's called reverse commuting. We'll tell you all about that. Friday, we'll be at the Wheeler Dow Boys Club. We're calling together some of these youth agencies, and we're saying, youth agencies, if our youth don't live in Center Township anymore, why all your doggone programs in Center Township when you're going to move them out to Pike and Warren and Wayne where our kids live? Because the inner city's everywhere. And what better place to do it in Wheeler Dow so that I don't have Ralph Dow coming after me, you know, throwing lightning bolts down. Next week, next Tuesday, we're going to talk live to teachers. Some of these teachers from Teach for America. They will be here with us live. We're going to find out from a teacher's point of view what parents and grandparents ought to be doing. How do these young teachers that are in our schools, how do they deal with our kids? How do they feel about it? What things can the community do to help our teachers? Who better to ask than read some real teachers? And then Wednesday, Marion County Prosecutor's Office will be here. We're going to talk about Derrick King gangs. You know, I don't know why they don't want to talk to our community about gangs. But we're going to talk about gangs on next Wednesday. And then next Thursday is the annual Radiothon for St. Jude as we raise money for the great folks at St. Jude. Because back in the day, Memphis might have been segregated. The only place in Memphis that wasn't segregated was St. Jude on the hill. Why is it? All good things are always on the hill. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. And Father Hodder, we probably have a laugh about all of this. Humor was important to his ministry, using a smile, using good nature to make the point. Joe, you agree with that?
Absolutely, without a doubt. He would always find it, find a point to bring in humor in five different languages, if you may. That's one of the things stands out in my mind. This guy could, do Greek just like he was speaking Pig Latin, like we knew Pig Latin coming up as kids. But he always added humor to his comments.
He also, Lori Wright, Addison Simpson, believed in the universality of faith. Not, yes, he was trained in the Catholic faith. He was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ as a Roman Catholic, but he always talked about all of the different faiths on this earth.
He did. One of the things he always would do to start off any Mass was, if you know the order of Mass in the Catholic Church, there's always the prayer that is to begin the Mass. And he would always start off by saying, "Let us pray to our Father, our Mother," and he would go through the various colors and races, and it was just a beautiful thing because we all believe Christ looks how we want to believe Christ looks. Mm-hmm. And he knew that, and he addressed that, and as someone said earlier, he never made anyone of a different faith not feel welcome.
Yeah. For me, it means a lot because he made me feel welcome in the Catholic faith. I have been blessed to be part of the Smith family for the last 40 years. And for the last 15 years, he's been thanks, Joe. For the last 15 years, he's been having a Christmas Mass in honor of my in-laws, Archie and Betty Smith, at Joe Smith's house. Every Christmas for the last 15 years. Tell us a little bit about that, Joe, if you don't mind.
Not at all. We were very fortunate to have Boniface come to our house and celebrate Mass. And as a matter of fact, this past Christmas, after he'd had a stroke, I went up to visit him. I said, "Boniface, you going to be able to make it? Do we have to get a replacement?" "Oh, no, I'll be there. My brothers help me. They'll carry me there. I got this bad side, but I'll be there. But he would come and celebrate in our home, whether it be 40 or 50 of the Smith gang there. And we look forward to it every year. That's something we'll truly miss, his coming to our home, celebrating Mass every year. And talk about universality. I mean, everybody remembers Morris Saltzman and Andy Brown, coming together. And the Muslim community, Father Boniface would reach out to all those communities. And people didn't understand what Catholicism was, but they understood Boniface.
239-1310. Did he help explain Catholicism to a black community that in the 60s really didn't understand it?
Amos, his method was, I would call him, he was a radical. What's the other word we would use?
Rabble-rouser.
Yeah, well, rabble-rouser.
Because Hades-raiser.
See, he was very aware of the history of the Africans inside the Catholic tradition. When you talk about the Church Father, you're talking about a black man. You're talking about Augustine. He also understood that Tertullian with the Trinity concept.
Origin.
He understood this, and right. he had his ways. But when you ask about his universality, on three occasions, after I would go to the East, I brought the Hindus over, Hindu gurus and things, right. And you would think they knew each other from way back, because we were doing that at the university and dealing with world religions, and that was his modus operandi. The universality of God and Christ.
Let me go back to the phones quickly. And Georgia. Georgia, you got about a minute.
Hey, Cam Brown. How you doing, Brian?
I'm fine, Georgia. How you doing?
All right. I got some good stuff for you to read. I brought back from Atlanta. But anyway, Father Bonifa Harden remind me of Dr. Benjamin Mays. And in Atlanta, there's a street named after Dr. Benjamin Mays. He used to come down at the pool room there and in Atlanta. But we're talking about... But anyway, I think a street ought to be named after this man to come here and start a university. That reminds me of reading the history of Henry McNeil Turner. Yes, sir. Yeah,
And knowing Father Harden, he wouldn't want no little one-block-long street. No. So if you all, for those of you listening at the 25th floor, because you're required to do that, no, we don't want a one. That's a nice idea, a street, not a one block little street. Needs to be something more longer and substantial, befitting his life and contributions to our community. Great suggestion, Georgia. Let me go to Darlene. Hi there.
Hi. I called because I, Dr. Brown, Reverend Derek King, have sickle cell, and I met Father in the 70s when I went over to the sickle cell center. And then he also persuaded me to go to Martin, where I graduated school, him and Sister Jane, and they would always call me Darlena and not Darlene, which I thought was kind of comical. But I love Father. He was constantly on me. He was there for me for whatever I needed. And it took me by surprise when he left here. So, and I also think instead of the Gabatorium, I think the whole school should be named, since he was the founder, him and Sister Jane, named after him.
All right. That's an interesting point. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's names. Let me go to Mike right quick. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Amos. It's Mike.
Hi.
I was calling in because I was a student at Holy Angels in the 60s. Father Boniface and Sister Jane Edward, they were very active in the civil rights movement. And we would, you know, organize, put signs together and stuff in the basement of the school. And I was part of the orchestra, and they'd put us on a truck, and we'd go up and down Northwestern and up in the neighborhoods and stuff. And it was, when I look back at it and what he was doing, it was really interesting, because I don't think the church at the time, you know, agreed with what he was doing. But, you know, the impression of him has always been close to my heart from that time. And it didn't surprise me that he started the university later. So I just wanted to let you know that.
All right. We appreciate that. Thank you. Again, the community viewing for Father Boniface Harden is tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. at the Gathatorium at Barnard University. And then at 7, there will be a program. Runs till about 9:30. Let's tell the truth. At least till 10 o'clock tomorrow. Just be honest. We're being honest now. Over at the Martin University, y'all know where that is, 2171 Avondale Place, 22nd Street, just west of Sherman Drive. And then funeral mass for Father Harden here in Indianapolis, 10 a.m. on Thursday at St. Peter and Paul Cathedral. That's at 14th and Meridian. That's right across the street from Channel 6, catty corner from where Channel 20 used to be back in the day, just a few blocks from the radio station. And then he will be buried where he learned his faith, and he learned the things that caused him to come to Indianapolis for 50 years and make such a great contribution at the Arch Abbey Church at the St. Meinrad Monastery in St. Meinrad, Indiana. If you want to know where that is, go to Google. Do a Google search, a Yahoo's. Use that to teach your kids and grandkids a little bit of Indiana geography. Guys, thanks very, very much for helping put a great life in a great perspective. And a lot of people who are listening now know more about this great man, Father Boniface Hardin, Joe Smith, Addison Simpson, Father Kenneth Taylor, who have the difficult job of being part of the team that will send him home. And, you know, our prayers will be with you, and please share them with his family and his thing. Because he's got, three brothers, I believe it is?
Three brothers.
Please, you know, extend our community's condolences to them and thank them for sharing him with us. You know, and we got to thank God, too, because God started all of this. Dr. Derek King, Dr. Thomas Brown, Lori Wright, guys, thanks very, very much.